Amen. Amen. So what's it all about anyway? What's it all about Christmas? Is I love Christmas. I don't know about you, but I do love Christmas. And I remember when I was a kid, you know, I loved cowboys. And I got a cowboy suit every Christmas for 7-8 years. That's what I ran down the flats in, two little guns. I was the best gunslinger in town. And I used to wake up just like full of energy in life just to get the gun and the cowboy outfit and go out and play with your friends and have murder because when you shot someone, they didn't lie down. Do you remember? There. You're dead. No, I'm not. I'm going home. I want to be an Indian after that. I remember the buzz around the house because I was the second youngest. So like you got all the goodies, you know, when all the others got older. And it's a great time of the year. And yet I recognize it's not a great time of the year for everybody. Probably 14 years ago, we buried my dad on Christmas Eve. You know, I know Christmas brings things for everybody. But if we miss who it's about, we miss what he can bring even in the midst of joy. Or not so much joy. If we concentrate on him, that's my grandson, just let me know he's there. God is good, amen? And he's always good. And that's the thing. And it was out of his goodness he gave his only begotten son. But I heard a great one recently. J. John told us in the stadium there at the Carrolls. He said this little boy, before Christmas, it was his birthday. And he prayed. And he says, "Dear Jesus, will you get me a bike for my birthday?" His birthday's around the 18th of December. And 18 came and gone. He didn't get a bike for his birthday. He's disappointed, but he goes, "Maybe I pray for it for Christmas." He says, "Dear Jesus, will you please give me a bike for Christmas?" Christmas morning comes and he had other toys, but there was no bike. So he went to the crib and he took Mary out of the crib and ran upstairs. And he said, "It's like this, Jesus. If you don't give me a bike, you're not getting your mother back." The first toy got kidnapping. That's a good one. I preached a sermon many, many years ago called "What's Love Got to Do With It?" You know, that song was written out of heartache. Tina Turner wrote it because she had been hurt and damaged and broken. And she wrote that song, "What's Love Got to Do With It? What's Love But a Secondhand Emotion?" She was saying out of hurt, but what's love got to do with Christmas? Absolutely everything. Christmas is all about love. Christmas is about God so loving the world that he gave. Jimmy educated us on the word generosity earlier on, that God gave his best. He gave the greatest that he had. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send someone that was a good man. He gave himself in the form of his son Jesus. He did not hold back. I'd love to rewrite a song, "Love in a Manger." Any songwriters or poets out there, will you go and write one? And "Love in a Manger." And I was thinking about this morning or over the last couple of weeks that, pray for Louise because Louise has done her shoulder in. Louise is supposed to preach this morning. And yet, about 4 weeks ago, the Lord gave me a message for Christmas. And I'm like, "Lord, I'm not even preaching." Isn't it amazing that God knows everything ahead of time? And I was, what he gave me was like, what brought all the characters together around Jesus' birth? What brought these people from all types of situations together in one moment in the greatest event ever to happen in humanity? I truly believe this because, you know, Naomi is right. And if anybody knows, I don't really preach around Easter time or I haven't for a couple of years, preach it or Christmas. Because in my head, I'm like, we're not only supposed to celebrate Jesus at Christmas. It's an opportunity, but it's not the only time. And we're not only supposed to talk about the resurrection at Easter. Because we get into a religious calendar, and then these tremendous truths that everything is based on gets lost within some other types of things. And there's that temptation also to stop singing actually Christmas carols. And I loved what Naomi done this morning and the team. That she reminded us, yeah, it's about celebrating the birth of Jesus, but he's to be worshipped. And I love Christmas carols. I can close my eyes and sing every one of them without words, as long as Laurie plays the theme. I love them. I've listened to Third Day singing them, to Bing Crosby singing them. And everyone in between that writes or does it their version of a Christmas carol. And I don't believe we should stop singing them, because I truly believe if we keep telling the Christmas story, singing the Christmas songs, and living the meaning of Christmas, living, singing, telling the message of God who sent his only son as a babe to be born into this world, that if we keep on telling, singing, living this message, that we will see a world come to know him in some form and produce joy and real and lasting peace to the world. I say, let's not stop singing. Let's not stop. When you hear them in the record shops or in the shopping centers, the songs, "Come All Ye Faithful" over the thing. Yeah, listen. They may just resign them to something being sung, but they're declarations of the truth that God gave his son. And when you think of the characters in the Bible, in this story, think of Joseph for a moment. Think this man who had this girl and they were going to get married. Think of the situation that he found himself in when Mary comes and says, "I'm pregnant." "What do you mean you're pregnant? We've never been together in that way." It's for God. Think of how ridiculous it would sound if somebody came to you who was a virgin and says, "No, I'm pregnant, but don't worry, the baby is God's." Like, think what has to go through his head. Hang on a minute. God. The God card. Isn't it funny how many times we play the God card? When we don't want to do something, we say, "God told me." Or we do want to do something, just in case no one agrees with me, but "God told me." We have to watch ourselves. Well, sometimes when God speaks, it's usually absurd. What's absurd about, what's natural or logical about Chris and Sheila pack up everything you have, 55 years of age, and go to Africa? God. But Joseph, in this situation, like, not knowing what was going to happen, listen to what God said to him. After Joseph had considered what was going on, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." When we're confused, when we don't know what's going on, you can put that slide up, Sarah, if you want. When you're confused and not going, listen, God knows how to get his word to you. God knows how to get his truth to you. These are some of the characters. Look at Herod up there in the corner. He's a nasty piece of work in this story. God, I don't know what's going on. How come I ended up in your story? I don't know how to deal with this situation. God gives a dream. God sends an angel. And what about Mary? Well, she's a tremendous character in this whole story. She's the one that has to carry out the mission. She's the one that every young woman in Israel would have dreamed of carrying the Savior of Israel. That maybe I'm pregnant with my son, that my son is going to be who God uses to save us from the tyranny of Rome or wherever. So you can imagine her life in it all. When an angel appears, why? Because God wants to get it to you that when we're troubled, listen to what it says here about Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this must be. But the angel said to her, "Be not afraid." See your troubles. Listen to God's word to you. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Don't be troubled anymore. Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. It's a command. Do not let your heart be troubled, Noah. How can I not let my heart be troubled if troublesome things are coming into it? Here's the answer. Trust in God. This is what Jesus said, John 14, trust also in me. Oh, when I get troubled, trouble is supposed to point me to God and to Jesus. Not for me to take it on board. Not for me to be burdened down with it. The angel says, do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will receive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him to the throne of David, his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendant, and his kingdom will never end. Do you notice he said to Joseph and Mary this? God is naming the boy, not you. Isn't it amazing? Maybe he would have called him Joseph after Joseph. Or someone after Mary, but God said, no. This is the name above every name. This is the name that carries my character, my truth, my power. So I'm naming him. You're not going to call him after Samson, great hero in Israel. You're going to call him after me. And listen, God has a name over you and me. Do you know he says in Revelations that he gives us a new name? Do you know he says that? So no matter what name you put on yourself, or being put on you, as God picked Jesus' name, God has picked the name for you. Isn't that incredible? I keep asking, Lord, what is my name? Maximus Aurelius? I don't know. That's the gladiator guy. I know you look confused there, Sandra. I think he'll tell us if we ask. Imagine you come out and you say, God told me my name. Tall, dark, handsome one. I think he got that one wrong, no. He wouldn't let anyone name his son. What about the shepherds? They're out minding their sheep. It's a nice night. But they're there just minding their sheep, minding their flock at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. Then the angel said to them, stop being afraid. What a command. Mary was told, be not afraid. The angel says to the men, stop being afraid. Because when God speaks, I want to tell you, fear runs. Men, stop being afraid. Stop being afraid of rejection. Stop being afraid of taking hold of what God has for you. Stop being afraid of things. Step out, trusting God has something for you. Stop being afraid of failure. Stop sabotaging your future. Stop it. That's what the angel said. I'm just repeating. He said it to men. I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all people. Today your Savior, the Lord Messiah, was born in the city of David. And this will be a sign to you. You will find him wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a feeding trough. God lying in a feeding trough. When the angels left them and gone back to heaven, the shepherds told one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see what was taking place. Listen to what Max Lucado says. Off to one side sits a group of shepherds. They sit silently on the floor, perhaps perplexed, perhaps in awe, no doubt in amazement. Their night watch had been interrupted by an explosion of light from heaven and a symphony of angels. God goes to those who have time to hear him. And so the cloudless night, he went to simple shepherds. God goes to those who have time to hear him. Forgive me, Lord. Shepherds, carpenter Joseph, Mary, angels. The angels appear and they start singing. And God the Father is introduced. It says in Luke, says, suddenly a multitude of heavenly army appear with the angels praising God by saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to all men who enjoy his favor. That another character in all of this is they're starting to sing to God the Most High, the angels. And then you have the three wise men. What brings three wise men all the way from the Orient East to a manger? Evil King Herod is even in this picture. Do you remember the three wise men go to him and he says, a king is being born? I'm the king. Tell me where the baby is being born when you find him and we'll go and worship him. I mean slaughter him. Because that's his intention. That's what he tried to follow through with. Isn't it amazing that even the evil get a chance? Look at the incredible heart of God for those who we would probably consider far away. And even they're told about Jesus. Isn't it incredible to think of that and how many times we beat ourselves up when we get it wrong? And God's heart is after the most evil man that was on in the, at least in the vicinity. Herod was a nasty piece of work. If you want to do some research on him, go ahead. It's incredible. He was evil to the bone. But here he is, getting a chance for God's love to be expressed. So what brings all these characters together? Is it like an Agatha Christie movie? You know, Death in the Sun, or Death on the Nile, or Death on the Orient Express. They bring all these different characters together into one place, and then something happens. And here God draws them all into one place. It's like, this lady wrote this, it's like God throws open the door of this world and enters as a baby. As the most vulnerable imaginable. Because he wants unimaginable intimacy with you and me. What religion ever had a God that wanted such intimacy with people? That he came with such vulnerability to us? What God ever came so tender so that we could touch him? So fragile that we could break him? So vulnerable that his bare, beaten heart could be hurt. Only one. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. And here in this manger, for once, as C.S. Lewis says, for once our world had something in it, a manger. For once in a manger, our world had something in it that was bigger than our entire world. For once, there was in a little manger. There was something in there, someone in there that was bigger than their whole world. The Son of God, wrapped in swaddling clothes, vulnerable, with a heart tender that could be broken. What a God. God came. What drew all of these characters together into this story is love. Love being expressed. Love being manifest. Love in the flesh. Lying in a manger. Love brought the wise men, the evil men, the virgin, the carpenter, the shepherds. Love brought it together. And love doesn't stop bringing people together. Just look around us. Why are we all together? Because we've experienced the love of God. How could we meet? Really? How would we really meet? Other than in God. I wouldn't know anyone from Kildarkin. Truly. Not because of that, because I would have been still stuck in a hole in Dolphin's Barn. How do I get to meet Brian Grace? How do I get to meet Laurie? How do I get to meet Jeffs? How do we get to meet one another from other continents, other places in the world? Love brings it all together. The love of Jesus, because naturally we shouldn't be together. Supernaturally. We're together because of love. Love wins all in the end. Love conquers. Love lifts you up where we belong. Love, love me, do. You know I love you. All you need is love. The world knows it. That's why we sing about it. But this is world, as we heard of Eddie's last two sermons. This is love that's beyond human capability. Listen to another quote by C.S. Lewis. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. The Son of God became a man to enable men and women, to become sons and daughters of God. The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Do you remember a great movie? If you haven't seen it, watch over Christmas. They're there in that land that's all snow. Someone says to Lucy, don't you love their English accent in it, by the way? Edmund. I do, I love it. If we watch it, I'm talking that way for the whole day. I'm going to share it over dinner. Sharon, could I have a Brussels sprout? Is that true? We were up in Belfast yesterday for my birthday. And all I did was talk like that. That's not it. See you there. Shoot. Edmund says, someone says, it's always winter. This is in Narnia. It's always winter and never Christmas. Think of that. It's always winter and never Christmas. How awful, said Lucy. In all of the winters that we'll experience, there's always a Christmas. No matter how dark and gloomy the winter gets, there's Christmas. The Son of God born. What was he born? To give hope to the world and to every circumstance. Rick Warren says, peace with God, peace with others, and peace in your own heart. That's the gift of Christmas. That's Jesus. Peace with God, peace with others, and peace in your own heart. The Son of God became a man so that we could become sons and daughters of God. And you can never truly enjoy Christmas until you can look up into Father's face and say, Father, I receive your gift of your Son. We can never truly enjoy Christmas unless we understand who Christmas is about. And Father gave him as a gift. Do you know salvation? It's a gift. Do you know righteousness? It's a gift. Do you know love? It's a gift. Do you know heaven? It's a gift. And when we receive God's gift, we receive the whole lot of that in him. Yes, we may have winters, but there's always Christmas. I want Jake to come because Jake felt he had a word earlier on, and I want to get us to receive something from God. Come on, Jake.
Amen. I was reading the scriptures this morning, and guys, I want you to get this because it's absolutely amazing. And in Luke chapter 7, I felt the Lord when I was reading it. He gave me some discernment and knowledge around his word. And it's about a woman and a man named Jesus. And in Luke chapter 7, it says that Jesus was invited to a Pharisee's house for dinner. Jesus was invited to a Pharisee's house for dinner. So Jesus accepts the offer. He goes. He reclines at the table. With that, a woman comes. Now I want you to grasp this. This woman that came, in the Pharisees' eyes, she was no ordinary woman. She was a sinful woman. Actually, they said to Jesus, do you know how much this woman has sinned? But this woman that said came in, and she cried on the feet of Jesus. She washed the tears off his feet, and she broke an alabaster jar of oil over him. And theologians and historians reckon it was a year's wages. And she broke it over him because she knew and she knew who he was. But where I want to bring this is that you can imagine this woman, and theologians reckon she was a prostitute. And a woman of her sort in the Pharisees' eyes was unclean. Stay away from her. You imagine this woman coming to the Pharisee's house. You can imagine. And wherever Jesus was, there was people. You can imagine all these people outside and they say, here she is. Here she is. Look at her. Who she thinks she is. Here's the sinner. She would have having to fight off rejection, guilt, shame, absolutely everything. Anxieties, fears, as Pastor Noel says. But she pushed past them. Because you know why? She knew who was in the house. And this morning I felt God say to me over here. And it's nearly like the Lord gave me discernment around the voice of the enemy. And I heard the voice of the enemy saying to people, don't go to him, he'll reject you. Don't go to him, you're full of guilt and shame. Don't go to him. Don't go to him. Don't go to him. But let me tell you, there's a way being made. God provided a way, and it was the Son Jesus, and that's who was in that gaff. And I want to tell you, he's here today. And no matter what you're carrying, or how you feel like, or what voices are speaking to you, I want to tell you, that's not God speaking. That's not God speaking.
Amen. So how did he all end up in this place? Because of God's love. And the enemy says, don't go. And Jesus says the opposite, come. So who are we going to listen to? Someone said recently, I don't know whether God loves me or not. Didn't say it to me, said the shame. Christian, struggling. He says, just go to the cross. That will tell you God loves you. Today we can go to the manger. We want to see from the one that was in the manger. Go to the altar. Stay where we are. He's here. I could have preaching about jingle bells. I could have having a nice clichéable message, but that's not God. God wants to give now. So God gives a word of knowledge because he knows what's going on in somebody's head. Isn't he great? Isn't he? The devil's a lawyer. The devil is a lawyer, a dirty lawyer. That's all he knows. Jesus said he's a father of lawyers. He doesn't know how to speak any truth. Everything that comes out of him is lie. Even if he tries to tell a truth, which he did with Jesus, he says about, he quoted scripture when Jesus' temptation, he misquoted it. Because he's a twister of truth. So let's pray. Isn't God so good? Could you line up a song, Adam, or of some sort? I'll leave it with you, Adam. No pressure. Let's stand. What do we need today? What do we need from Father that only he can give? You know, there's presents that we can give one another. And they're cool and they're nice. And thank you for the presents that we've received today. But then there's deeper needs, deep longing in each of our hearts that we can't meet. But God the Father can. In the name of his Son Jesus, through the power of his Holy Spirit. This is the season for joy, and you mightn't have joy because you've been listening to a lie. But let's, Father, speak some truth. Holy Spirit, we just say you're the boss. We bow our knee to you, Father. And we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just come right now and give what everyone needs. It's in Jesus. We don't have to go looking for it elsewhere. It's in him. All that we need is in him for the church. So I could direct you to me right now and say, come on up and I'll pray for everybody. Who am I? Or I could direct you to Jesus who has everything. I choose to direct you to Jesus. So would you pull out your hands like you're going to receive? Let's just build expectation in our own hearts. Let faith arise. Let faith arise in your own heart, knowing that God is true to his word. Knowing that God would give someone sitting down somewhere some words to say. That God would speak about fear, future. You're here because of love. You're here because of love. God has come in the flesh so that you could belong to him. Receive him today. Receive him as Lord and Savior, Messiah, King. That's what the three wise men said. How wise were they? We came to see the King. They bowed down. They said, you're King that's higher than us. What do you need? Not in a loud shout, but just in a whisper to God. Would you verbalize what you feel you need right now to God? Don't let it be internal. I'm telling you, just power and saying it out loud. I don't want you to shout real. I hear someone down the back, I need a husband! Not out loud, I told you. Just before God. But loud enough so you hear yourself. You know why we sing? You know, if we're near a micro, if we're near a speaker, we'll sing louder than normal. Why? Because there's something in us that needs to hear ourselves. That's why they have feedback earpieces when they're doing music and all. We need to hear ourselves. And there's something in declaration that the enemy needs to hear, God wants to hear, and you need to hear. So maybe Adam would play something. And then we can pray at the end. But just during this song, will you just speak to Father? I'm telling you, He loves you. I'm telling you, let me be a lawyer. I want to tell you, God loves you. He gave Jesus. Thank you, Lord.